I'm so glad you found us here on the Superwoman Next Door podcast, where we explore the secret heroic lives of everyday women. Please keep in mind these are adults having adult conversations and sometimes use adult language. We'll laugh and we'll cry, but by the end you'll find the ways in which you too are a true superwoman. I'm your host, Daisha M. Arnold. Thank you for joining us.
Hey everyone, we're here with Crystal Rodriguez. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Crystal.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course, my dear friend from Cincinnati. How's the weather down there?
Very cold and a lot of ice and snow still on the ground.
Yeah, you said you're out shoveling.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I think we got 8 inches on top of the 4 to 6 inches we already had up here in Pennsylvania.
Yuck.
Yeah, right. I actually love snow.
You're weird. I love the snow. I don't love all the ice that we got. I wasn't a fan of that.
Where are you at?
I'm in like the greater Columbus area, Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
We got it freezing rained for hours and then moved to sleet and then moved to a mixture and then went to just snow. We ended up with, I don't know, like 6-8 inches.
Yeah, it's beautiful here. I live out in the woods. And so all the bare branches have like a coat of ice on them. So in the sunlight, they like sparkle all rainbow colors and the kids get a big kick out of it.
That sounds very lovely and peaceful.
Hey, so Crystal, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, and then we're going to kind of switch up the show a little bit and play a game with you.
Okay. You already know my name's Crystal. I am an only child. But I am now married to a retired Marine, and we have 3 beautiful children, 2 of which are my biological children. The oldest is my husband's from his previous marriage, so we do have a very blended family. Our youngest, Oliver, is 5. I probably will talk about him the most because I feel like that's what my life revolves around now, is taking care of Oliver. I was actually just talking a little bit about this the other day, about how I feel like I've lost myself, not just in the mom wife role, but in taking care of Oliver. It's kind of taken away a lot of my life. Oliver's our youngest. He's 5. Pilar is 7 and Xander is 13. The lovely Ollie kind of hit the ground running since birth, which overshadowed our other 2 children and the rest of our life. We weren't really sure what was wrong with him when he was first born. A lot of it seemed to be GI related and feeding issues. He wasn't gaining weight. We were hopeful that that was all it was. We could figure it out, get him on the right formula, and move on with our lives. I actually left my husband in the middle of nowhere, Missouri, in Fort Lost in the Woods, is what we called Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, where he was stationed, hoping to get a diagnosis for our son and move me and the kids back and join him. And that didn't happen. Our little vacation in Florida with my parents became a living arrangement with my parents. And then my husband applied for a transfer. They couldn't offer us in South Florida where we were, which most of my son's care at the time was in Miami. They couldn't offer us a Miami spot, so they offered Tampa. We took it. That was a bad move as well. I was better than Missouri, but even Tampa couldn't handle him. He was airlifted a couple of times from the Tampa area down to Miami when he was hospitalized. The times that we could plan an admission, we would drive down. So it was a lot of back and forth from Tampa to Miami. About 2018 is when things started to get more rocky with Ollie. Like I said in the beginning, we thought it was all GI related feeding issues. 2018, the immune system became involved. The flu almost killed him. It was pretty rough for our family, very traumatic. So then fast forward to 2020, after the immune system's involved and living in a pandemic like everybody else, you can imagine the anxiety of watching the flu almost kill your son and then have this new virus that is evolving and changing, and regulations are changing, recommendations are changing. We pretty much lived in a bubble for the last 6 to 8 months of my husband's military career. We didn't get to hug a lot of our military friends, and our friends really became like family. We didn't get to hug them goodbye. We didn't get, you know, a big send off or a huge retirement party like we had hoped and wished for. We were all really concerned about protecting Ollie and keeping him safe. Lo and behold, even though we took most of the precautions and did a really good job of isolating my husband's retirement weekend, Ollie got sick again. Only it wasn't COVID, it wasn't the flu, it was just his own body attacking itself. At that point, we had already made plans to move to the Cincinnati area for children's. We had been working with a specialist here who had a good handle on the disease she thought we were dealing with. That disease is still kind of gray. They're calling it macrophage activation syndrome. Don't ask me to explain that. I think the easiest way to explain it is it's a hyperinflammatory disease, and his body, along with four other little boys like him, It can attack itself. It can go into an overinflammatory response for anything and everything. Mm-hmm. And he can become super sick really fast. I mean, we've seen him go from normal to really sick in a matter of minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we have to rush him to the hospital. So I'll live my life by the seat of my pants. I spend a lot of time in hospitals and doctor's offices. And when I don't, I spend a lot of time at home planning, writing out schedules for five people, rearranging those schedules when Ollie gets admitted. I'm trying to keep my house clean because I'm very OCD. Hence the shoveling. My husband says I'm crazy, but it was oddly therapeutic to shovel. I got out of the house away from the kids and I chiseled away in small sections. So yeah, all that to say, prior to Ollie, I was a hospital social worker. I did case management. So my career did really help prepare me for being Ollie's mom, but I quickly went from a working mom to a stay-at-home medical mom and pretty much Ollie's nurse now. So
like 24/7.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that is beyond a full-time job.
It is. I don't take credit very often or take compliments very well, but I'm learning since we lost our nurse. We did have nursing in California, which was March. So we're coming up on almost a full year without any nursing support at home.
Wow.
I'm really starting to realize how big of a job this is. And I do feel inhuman sometimes when I step back and take a look at what I actually do from day to day and then realize I am still standing. I can put makeup on occasionally and I do look and act like a functioning adult most days.
Are you able to have an outlet where you can, like a space and someone that you can discuss this with and be able to be you, not just caretaker you, but, you know, be able to discuss this and things that you're going through?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm really an open book. I like to talk a lot. It gets me in trouble. My husband said some things just aren't meant to be shared.
You're in good company.
Since we moved here, and not right away when we got here, so almost a year now, maybe May, June, I don't know. It was sometime after summer last year, I started seeing one of the staff therapists at the hospital. They're specific to patients and families on the unit that my son is treated on. It's the bone marrow transplant unit. So although my son hasn't had a bone marrow transplant, he's considered pre-transplant. He may be a candidate. We're not really sure, but his disease does affect the bone marrow. So these therapists are used to dealing with medically complex families, but they're not used to dealing with like us. I've been told so many times in some of our sessions that, wow, I talk to a lot of families, but none of them seem like it's as crazy as you. I just don't know how you're making it. And sometimes, you know, it feels good to hear that. And sometimes it doesn't. It's a healthy outlet, but it doesn't really give me a space because I still feel like it falls under the umbrella of Ollie and his medical. So if I were to honestly answer that, the yes and no is the best way I could say.
Mm-hmm. So as background for who I am, I My husband battled leukemia and dealt with a bone marrow transplant and all the repercussions after. And I never had a space where I felt like I could ever talk about what I was going through. If I would bring it up, it was always, well, think how he's feeling. Well, of course you do. That's all you do is think about them. But you also have to have a space where you can talk about the things that you're dealing with, because it's a lot. And to be able to just be seen and heard is just huge.
Well, then yes. Then my answer is yes. The therapists do a good job at just listening to me gripe. And sometimes we don't even talk about Ollie. We just talk about my OCD, my broken relationship with my mom, my lifelong struggle with my weight and my image. We do talk about things that are just me, but probably not often enough. I probably could schedule more often to have that outlet, but sometimes just having that on the schedule is more overwhelming than not.
Right. Trying to make space for yourself. They always say you have to take care of you, but it's really hard to do. I just had one person. I didn't have a whole entire family that I'm scheduling for and trying to balance all of those schedules. So it's what you're dealing with is astronomical, and like, kudos to you. And I know you do what you have to do when you have to do it, but there are people who I learned as a caretaker for my husband walk away, and which is just, how do you do that? How do you walk away from the people that you love and just because it's hard? But I'm so much respect for you.
Well, kudos to you as well. I mean, I only see it from a parent perspective, and I think it's a lot easier as a parent to power through. Yeah. If that sounds right. I'm not sure how I would feel if it was my spouse, if I'm being honest. I don't know if it's better or worse. I tell people all the time, I actually don't like to compare, because hard is hard.
Right. It's all hard.
Yeah. I think they're equally as tough situations. Just to help you understand too, I think you picked up on it a little bit. When you have a diagnosis like leukemia or one of the known cancers, it's also easier and harder because it's definable and there's support groups and people know exactly what you're dealing with, because cancer's been around for forever. When it's brand new and it's chronic, it's like dealing with a mini cancer for his whole life. Mm-hmm. It becomes a lot more isolating, and I'm thankful that there are four other little boys like him. It sucks that they're on the same journey with us, but it's helped me bond with their moms. So mm-hmm. that helps a lot too, because
yeah, definitely.
We have very similar lives, us four moms, and I'm really close with two of the moms, and that does help a lot, but we're both equally as busy and overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine not being able to this is what I'm dealing with, and having somebody like at least understand the concept of what you're dealing with. And then to have, like you said, it horrible that you've got these children that are also battling this, but amazing that you have a support system so that you can share stories and commiserate and share victories and, you know, all the things that you need to do when you're
and our kids, they bond. It's nice. The others, they have siblings, and I mean, they're all boys. So some of the boys are similar ages, which is, mm-hmm. you know, really nice. It's a small comfort. Mm-hmm.
If you haven't visited my website lately, you definitely should. Jen Clark from JC Design and Media has done a complete overhaul, making new episodes of Superwoman super easy to find. My new branding and beautiful website were the superpowers I didn't know I was missing in my business. JC Design and Media should be your choice for bold and ambitious designs that sell. If you're looking for a new branding or completely new look to your website, visit jcdesignandmedia.com to get started. Now back to our interview.
That's really interesting. And Crystal, you do a really good job at keeping your circle of support kind of updated on what's going on with Ollie and when there are events that are notable, and when there aren't events that are notable, and those are small victories in themselves. But you do a really good job of just communicating that in a way that other people can understand, not just how hard it is for you, because that does not come across at all. What comes across is, I know people care about me. And I know people care about Oliver and his journey. And so I'm sharing this with you so that you can still feel a part of this journey with us. And I think that is another yoke that you carry. And it's amazing that you have the strength and ability to even articulate even just the facts of what's going on. Not only that, but it just being so weighing on you, and you're exhausted and you're tired, and it's like 3 a.m. and you've been up since 6 a.m. the previous day.
Thank you. I mean, it doesn't always, I think some of it is therapeutic as well. It's kind of like a journal. I don't blog. And I think part of why I even started it is I come from a very faithful background. I believe my faith and my church community is what got me through my younger years of life. I do come from a very dysfunctional family. I mean, these days, I don't know who doesn't, but they were always my constant, my support. And I do believe in God. And I believe that, you know, without him, I wouldn't be standing. Oliver wouldn't be here. He's really placed people in our life that have guided us on the right path, on the path of success and finding better treatments for him. And given that we were a military family for so long, that's kind of why I started his page online and even sharing, because it was just easier. So it was a selfish reason, since we were isolated from so much family and so many people wanted to pray and wanted to know, how is he doing? It just became an easier way to update all at once. Mm-hmm. I mean, at times when I was so tired and overwhelmed, I would just text family and say, hey, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not going to individually text you. I'm just going to post updates on his page, you know, just follow there so that you know what's going on. Cause it's just becomes overwhelming to text everyone and respond to all the questions. Yeah. And, you know, some people, a lot of people have the same questions. So it makes it easier to just answer those where everyone can read them.
Definitely. I did that with like a Facebook group, just like, hey, this is what's going on. Because when you have so many people that love and care about your person and your family and want to pray, and it's so great. But when you're running on fumes and caffeine and, you know, definitely not enough sleep and not enough of anything, right, that it's so much, it's awesome that you're able to set that boundary and be like, look, I can't be everything for you too. Like, here's what you need. Here's the info you need. Go here.
Yep.
Awesome. So we have a treat for you today, Crystal. This is because you did bring up that you feel like you've kind of lost yourself in all of this. And it's easy to do. It's easy to kind of lose your identity. Like not only the moment you become a mom, but especially if you become a mom of a complex medical child like Ollie. So our treat for you today is we are going to run a segment on our show called the question game, and you get to participate as well, and we participate as well. So each of us will do 2 whole rounds, and each of us will ask a singular question. It cannot be a yes or no question, and we're going to keep them kind of light today. Okay, so no yes or no, they're going to be kind of light. I'll do an easy one as we go around the first round. So it'll go me and then Mel, and then you can ask us. And then we each take turns answering, and you do get to answer your own question. Okay. All right. So the first one is you. So if you ask the question, you answer it last.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
So the first question is, and this is an easy one, in the movie of your life, who would play you? Oh, come on, guys.
I had someone there for a while, and I cannot remember the name of the person, because I'd really thought it. She had asked me this before, and I'd really thought about it. And do you think I can pull that name out of my head right now? No,
oh, I know, right?
I can't.
I think in the movie of my life, you would be played by Kate McKinnon, because holy crap,
that is a compliment. Yes,
I don't even know amazing. Who that is. That's, but I live under a rock.
That's okay.
She's a delightful amount of weird and wonderful and caring. And I can definitely resonate with who she is as a person. So that would be amazing. She's on SNL.
Okay. A lot of humor there. Are you going to answer, or is Tayshia answering for you?
Oh yeah. Do you want to answer, Mel, or?
Yeah. See, now I want it to be Kate McKinnon. I'm stealing that. I'm going to run with that. Let it be Kate McKinnon. If there's ever a story about me, I want it to be her.
Mine's so cliche. It's very What's the word I'm looking for? Shallow. J-Lo.
What?
Yep.
That's amazing.
No.
I love Jennifer Lopez, and we both have big booties. We're nice. Both brunettes. Yeah. I've rocked all kinds of hairstyles, and so has she. I think she'd be a good fit.
That's nice. Awesome. She's very strong, portrays very strong women. I think that's perfect. That's perfect. I think mine would be Kat Denning. And I know that a lot of people don't know who Kat Denning is. In the Marvel universe, most recently, she was in WandaVision as the nerdy scientist. And so in the movie of my life, I would be played by Kat Denning.
I think it's the only reason I knew who that was.
Yeah.
That's awesome. She was on Two Broke Girls.
Yeah.
I loved her. I know that was such a silly show. I love that show so much.
Very similar figures, and we both like dark lipstick.
Nice.
All right, Melody, you got a question for us.
If you could pause life right now, so everything just stops, but you could go anywhere and just kind of have a moment and just like take it all in, where would you go?
Bora Bora. Go Fiji. Somewhere warm with a cocktail.
I like that.
I agree.
Yeah. Right. Would you go warm? Tropical?
Oh, 100% warm. I am not a winter person. Born and raised in South Florida with a Caribbean background.
Nice.
I would definitely probably say Greece.
Oh. Nice.
On my bucket list and haven't been there yet.
Mm-hmm. I would go New Zealand. That's on my bucket list. And like two of the places that were on my bucket list hit at the same time for trips. And I chose Scotland, which I'm really glad I did. I had the most amazing experience. But my friends were backpacking through New Zealand at the time as well. And I couldn't do both trips in 1 year. But New Zealand is still very high on the list.
Yeah, I want to do New Zealand. I want to do Scotland also just because of Outlander. And that's like the only reason. It was Ireland before that. But
they're the nicest. The Scottish people are the nicest people. And just the architecture and the natural beauty of, you know, that Scotland has to offer. It is fantastic. I would move there tomorrow. If I had a job offer, I'd be like, boom, done. Let's pack up my life and go.
You start looking, girl. Start looking.
At least they still speak English.
Yes, mostly. Yes. There's what's interesting about Scotland. They have, if you like look at the street signs in that, you can see, to me, it looks like there was like a German influence at one point, because some of the signs seem very, because I lived in Germany for a year with Hubs. Some of the signs seemed like if you merged Irish, English, and German together, you would get Scottish.
Gaelic.
Words and phrases. Gaelic. Yeah. Which they, I got a chance to listen to some Gaelic singers while I was there. Just absolutely beautiful.
All right, Crystal, do you have a question for us?
I'm trying to think, but I have a question before the question so that I don't. Mel, your husband is still with us, right?
He passed away in 2014.
Okay. Well, I'm going to X that question off the table because I think it's insensitive.
Oh, I like dark humor, like full disclosure. I make terrible dark humor jokes all the time, and my husband appreciated that like immensely. So
it's not humorous, but I feel like it's just not appropriate to ask if.
Okay.
Okay.
So let me, my question. Okay. I have a good one. If you could go back to college as a college age student, like not necessarily rewind the clock, but like be who you are, but just change your age and attend another 4-year university, where would you go? What university? Anywhere.
Oh.
I would want to pick one that was like in a historic city, so that I could be surrounded by history and, you know, just like amazing architecture. I stuck to home, so that's where I and then partially I took classes at Austin Peay when we were in Tennessee, when he was stationed at Fort Campbell. But yeah, I would want it to be somewhere historic, but not somewhere that it's so hard that I wouldn't be enjoying my experience.
Yeah.
So I don't know what institution that would be, but I know where I'd want it to be. You know what I mean?
I think if I had my work ethic that I have now, but younger with no other responsibilities, I would probably do Harvard or Yale. I probably would. I would do one of the harder ones because I knew that I would have the capacity to do it and excel.
Well, I would do somewhere in Southern California.
Nice.
Learn to surf and
spend
my 4 years on the beach.
You're like, I wouldn't go to college if I were to go back to college.
All my classes are remote from the beach. Me and my laptop in the sand.
Yes. Well, for reference, I went to college in Syracuse, New York. So.
Oh, okay.
I loved it. I wouldn't change it, but it was a lot of snow.
Yeah.
That is a very, very cold. Like I've only spent a little bit of time there because I've got cousins there, but holy moly. No, thank you. The winner's there. No.
Nope.
All right. Now it looks like we've got one more round of questions. We got time for one more round of questions. My question is, if there were three items that we needed to summon you and it did not include children or medical devices, what would it be?
Coffee, wine, and tacos.
Yeah, oh, wait.
Mine's all consumable goods.
Yeah. What about you? What would your three items be?
Actually, it'd probably be dogs, if I was being honest.
All the dogs.
I would say the beach, cocktails, and a massage.
Ooh, nice.
Give me just a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
I give you a topic. Partridge Family's neither Partridge nor Family Discuss.
So Mel, you're in Columbus?
I am. I'm in Columbus. Hilliard, but the greater Columbus area. Like, I'm so far south in Hilliard that if I take a few steps, it's Columbus. And you're in Cincy?
Yes.
Nice.
We're in Harrison, so we're like right on the border of Indiana.
Nice.
Sorry about that. My daughter needed the iPad.
That's an emergency. A few more seconds probably would have just like the world would have ended.
My kids are deprived. We don't own an iPad. Not even us adults.
Man, I grew up with Atari and like old school Nintendo, like and a dial TV that was sometimes black and white because the color would go.
Do you remember?
Yeah. So I think my three things that you would need to summon me are coffee, a puppy, and your biggest dreams. Like, I want to hear, oh my god, like anytime somebody is like, my biggest dream is, I'm like, tell me.
So you can write about it.
You can write about it. No, I love it. I love everyone's biggest aspirations because, like, here I am getting to do all the great things, and I want everyone to be here with me doing all the great things.
You're badass. That's all I can say.
Sure.
You are.
I'm glad we became friends. Thank you.
All right, Mel, your question. So your turn question.
If you were a dog, what dog breed would you be? I'm obsessed with dogs. I should just, I should work with dogs, honestly.
This is that's, like way better than care about most who would play you in a movie question.
Yeah. If you were a dog, what kind of dog would you be? Mm-hmm. Would you be a mutt? Would you be a full breed of something? What would you be mixed with?
Is this my answer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, initially, before you said mutt, I would say golden retriever. You know, I've always felt like they're just so loyal and big and fluffy and just beautiful dogs. But we don't own any purebreds, never have. They're all mutts, and I love them. They've been the best dogs ever. So I'd say one of.
So it would be a golden retriever mutt.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably be a show dog, probably a beagle, just because we own beagles, and a show dog because I'm a people pleaser. Give me a treat and I'll do whatever you want. Like, I am 100%. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I'll do it. Just tell me what to do.
You're probably like a Westie because they're, they can be like fiercely loyal and also just fierce in general. Think that they have more capabilities than what they actually do. like to fight all these battles. You know what I mean? Like I'm unnecessarily feisty is what I'm saying. There's no reason for it. It's just there.
That's what would say the same about me.
All right, Crystal, it is your turn.
My turn. Okay. I have kind of a fun one. Mm-hmm. If you could remove one bodily function, like still healthy and you, like you don't need any help, you could just remove this one bodily function and never have to live with it again, what would it be?
I would never have to poop again.
I would never have to fart again. I'm the gassiest human being I think that's ever lived. I don't care if I have to poop. That's totally fine. But if I could stop farting so much, that would be great.
Reasons why Mel is single.
Well, if my husband had to answer for me, he'd say that too. But he still married me, even though I farted very early on in our relationship.
You always have to hide it.
I don't.
So bad. Why?
I never did.
I love it.
My mother-in-law said she didn't fart her entire marriage to my husband. She didn't fart in front of him. I said, that's a long time of tummy aches.
Oh my God, you'd be so miserable.
We're leaving the room. Like,
yeah. Nope. I let them rip.
I know, because the moment you stand it up, they just go away. So there's no point in like leaving the room. It's going to take you another 15 minutes to get comfortable enough.
Yes. So mine would have to be peeing.
What?
Because I can't tell you how many times pre-kids and post-kids I have peed my pants.
Oh no.
As an adult, as a grown adult. Yep. Even saw a doctor because we thought something was wrong with my bladder. Nope, nothing's wrong with my bladder. Just apparently wait too long and then pee my pants.
Oh shit.
They have thong depends. you know?
Pretty sure safe, but also sexy.
But also, no panty lines.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Superwoman Next Door podcast. Are you a superwoman with an incredible story? Do you want the world to know about the superwoman in your life? You can nominate an amazing woman with an inspiring story to appear on a future episode by visiting DaishaMArnold.com/podcast/nomination to put us in touch. Until next time, be good to yourself. You deserve it.